start on the vehicle.
Welcome to ET First Contact Radio.
And ET First Contact Radio welcomes to the show today Steve Becko. Steve is currently fulfilling his life path in the city of Vancouver, British Columbia, in Canada. A historian and sociologist by education and training, he has also authored books on cross-spirituality, life after death, and first contact. Steve currently dedicates much of his time to his website and project, The 2012 Scenario. His passion focuses on events relating to shifts in human planetary consciousness, our galactic family, and events related to predicted and prophesized ends to the current life cycle in 2012. The 2012 scenario can be found at www.stevebecko.com. You're listening to ET First Contact Radio on BBS Radio, and from somewhere on an Autobahn in Germany is your host, Martin Horst, with Steve Becko.
Yes, hello, Steve. This is Martin.
Hi, Martin. Thank you, Jeff, for that introduction. Hello, everyone.
Wonderful introduction, Jeffrey. We had Jeffrey on the show earlier a few times, I think 3 times now, Jeffrey.
I think so, yes.
Yeah. Well, this is ET First Contact Radio on BBS Station 1, and I'm going to ask some questions to Steve Becko from the 2012 scenario, and if you want, Jeffrey, you can also ask questions, and I'm going to announce the phone number. If people want to ask questions, they can call in, and the number in the United States and in Canada is to call is 888-815-9756. And if you are calling from anywhere else in the world, it's 001 888 815-9756. So welcome, Steve.
Thank you, Martin. And I wanted to mention that Jeff is going to be having his own radio program, is he not?
Oh, that's wonderful. Congratulations, Jeffrey.
Well, it is looking that way. Thank you kindly for that that honorable mention. I appreciate that. Yes.
Yes.
I look forward to helping people connect with events that are happening. But let's stay on the target here.
Well, Martin is also in Germany today. Is that not right? What are you doing there?
I'm in the car right now, in my little car, an old car. I think in the United States it's called the Mitsubishi Mirage, and we drove for about 200 kilometers today. My friend Sibrenjo and I. Maybe I just say Sibrenjo can just say hello to the listeners. He's a very good friend and very much into the 2012 scenario as well. Hello, hello, Sibrenjo.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. Very good.
Yeah, come a bit close to the microphone.
Yeah, very good.
Okay. Well, we are both very good, and we are very excited to be here somewhere in the middle of nowhere. We don't know where we are, but we have a navigation system, and we have an internet connection we found somewhere, and we are very happy to have Steve Becko. So, Steve, the first question, how did you, first of all, become interested in extraterrestrials and channelings like Salusa and Sheldon Idle and Mira from the Pleiadian High Council and others? How did you come involved in it?
Well, I think I've been interested in it most of my life. But the interest for a long time was on the back burner until around 2007. A friend of mine, Len Satov here in Vancouver, mentioned the 2012 scenario. And I had not been aware of it until then. But that having been said, I do notice when I look backward through the years that everything I've studied, cross-cultural spirituality, as Jeff mentioned, and life after death and the other topics, have all kind of worked their way into, they've all been very useful for the study of the 2012 scenario itself. Mm-hmm. So... but once Len, you know, told me about what he knew was happening, I then did what I often do, and that's to set up a website and begin to study the subject and see, you know, for myself what was happening. Now, that website was First Contact.
Right.
And that's different from the 2012 scenario website. But that's how it all began. I was totally blown away with what I found out, which is what Jeff knows, what you know, and what probably increasing numbers of your listeners are finding out as well.
Yes, I guess so. And do you have the feeling or do you have the notion or the idea with your knowledge? I think you have a lot of knowledge about the whole scenario, that the landings will happen before the end of this year?
Oh, yes. I was just speaking with two people today. Before talking about that, let me just mention that it's very difficult to talk about dates because I realize that everybody is looking forward to the start of the main event, so to speak. But when we talk about dates and they don't happen, people can be disappointed, disillusioned. This is I was going to say a global event, but it's more than a global event. It's the actual ascension that or planetary shift that will take place probably in the latter part of 2012 is a cosmic event. It's a universal event. Sorry, Jeff, go ahead.
Oh, I was just merely going to say an event of galactic proportions.
Yes, it is.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Go ahead. Yeah.
I would just like to say that the ascension process that was foreseen for 26,000 years, according to the Mayans and also according to many channels like Salusa, and we are now ending the end of a great cycle. And Can you feel that? Can you notice that in your personal life, Steve?
Oh, yes. I have been tracking, and Jeff probably could say the same, that I've been tracking my own internal process. And I'm just growing, expanding, feeling more love every day. So I can very much see how the energy being beamed to this planet is.
Everybody out there in Radio Land, as you can plainly see, we have a little bit of a connection problem, but stay tuned.
This is our main man, Doug, in the production booth, doing his diligent work, getting us reconnected to the energies of life.
Indeed. Okay, well, we're going to connect in right now.
You're listening to ET First Contact Radio on BBS, and we are in the process of establishing a reconnection to Martin on the side of the Autobahn in Germany. So we're currently hosting Steve Beckow today. Steve Beckow is our guest, and as soon as we get back connected, we will be more than willing and happy to give you some information about his journey.
Yeah, I'm back. Sorry.
There we go.
I don't know where we left off, but Jeff, I think we've lost Martin. Is that correct?
It appears that we have for the moment. Yes. So we'll try and reestablish the connection to him in just a moment. But I think you were in the process of wrapping up what you were feeling and perceiving about what is taking place at this time.
Well, I think the best way to describe it is if you could imagine a balloon that's empty and then it's gradually being filled with air. That's about the way I feel inside as each month passes and more energy is being beamed to this planet. According to the galactic sources and the spiritual hierarchy, the plan is to gradually raise the energy so that people are not overly stressed or shocked. Whoops, I just heard. Are we still on? You and I.
We're still here. Yes, we're still
okay.
With you.
Yep. Very good. And sorry. So it's a gradual process. It is also problematic in the sense that when you raise the energy in the way that's happening now, it exposes the problematic side of our personalities. It exposes the places where we're resistant and separative and invested. And so you see a lot of acting out going on around us in people, and most of them don't know what's happening. So this process has to be managed as well. And then another side of the process that has to be managed is that the planet's controllers, and most of Martin's listeners probably may not know very much about the control under which the planet has existed for millennia. But the planet's controllers, nonetheless, the elites, we know them as the military-industrial complex or the secret state or Wall Street or however you want to think about it, are resisting as well. And so this process, too, has to be managed, this resistance by the controllers. There's just a lot that's going on, and it's not very easy to talk about when events like disclosure will happen or first contact, because the team, the galactic team that's handling it, is managing so many variables and so many important situations. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Very good. Okay.
Very attentively listening to what you're sharing with us.
Great. Well, we're connected to Germany, Los Angeles, Costa Rica, Vancouver. I mean, it's really quite amazing when you think about it.
If only our global leaders could take advantage of this kind of technology to help improve the system of governance around the world and within their respective countries.
Yes, and of course that will happen soon enough.
I mean, amazing if the G20 and the G8 summits that were held in Canada last year, if they could have been used, if this technology could have been used instead of using all the taxpayer dollars. But that's a different topic, which we will not go into right now.
All right.
No, sure.
I think the best thing to do if we want to explore some topics is to tell the listeners exactly what's going to be happening, what they can expect coming in a number of weeks or a number of months. Shall we do that?
Sure. Yeah. If you feel you have some perspectives to share, I will take the moment to remind gently to the listeners, each soul is individual or uniquely different, but equally beautiful, and different information will resonate with different listeners in each moment. So as you listen to what is shared, embrace it, take it in, and see how you feel with it. Does it feel like it is a part of your, I use the word truth. I've been told to focus on something slightly different, which I am going to very graciously consider at this time. You know, we all have a message that is a part of ourselves. So whatever you feel is your message at this time, go with what you feel. Please go ahead, Steve.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. Well, I think the first thing to realize is that what is being enacted at this moment is a divine plan. It's a part of the divine architecture of the universe, and I'd like to mention the backdrop to this. There actually is a purpose to life. There is actually a reason why all that is happening around us is, and the purpose of life in the beginning was for the divine to experience itself, really. The divine is formless and cannot experience itself. If you are the only thing in a room without a mirror or a light or other people, you too could not very well experience oneself. So the divine created life forms and gave them the task of realizing their true identity, which was the divine. Every time a life form realizes itself, God meets God. So that's the backdrop to everything that's happening, never mind just what's happening right now. So we are, all of us, involved in a journey from God to God, and at this point in the journey, we're about to leave the world of duality and enter the world of unity. But that's just one stage on the journey. There's endless stages past that. And we're being assisted by both our own spiritual hierarchy, and I know many listeners may not accept the reality of life outside the body, but it is a feature of life. Our spiritual hierarchy, those individuals who are responsible for the evolution of planet Earth, have invited extraterrestrial civilizations who come from higher dimensions, some of them, to mentor us, to come to Earth and to assist us to restore the Earth, to spread abundance around the Earth so that people aren't focused on their survival, and then to prepare for ascension, which is generally understood to come at some point before, on or before December 21st, 2012. There have been many instances of ascension in our history. So I can think of some from Christianity, from Judaism, from Hinduism, in other words, from the sacred books of those religions. But on this occasion, we're going to shift as a planet. Some will choose not to go with us, and that's fine. There's no judgment attached to that. This is the end of the plan, then, that ascension will take place on a date either on December 21st, 2012, or sometime before it. And so the plan then has other steps prior to that. Now, the big step that all of us are waiting for is disclosure of the existence of extraterrestrial civilizations. That's the first big step. But there's another big step that accompanies it, and that is the introduction of a planetary abundance program, which some people know as NASARA, and others know as the wisdom economy. Those people who watch the Zeitgeist Addendum will know it as that. Seleucia talks about it. Seleucia's a Syrian spokesperson for the Galactic Federation. He talks about it as the Abundance Program, but a lot of people will know it as NASARA. The Abundance Program is designed to take want away, to take want out of the lives of people, so that they can have the space and the room and the emotional capacity to prepare for ascension. So I expect NASARA and disclosure to happen around about the same time. And I have no idea when that will be. And if I did, I wouldn't say, because to do so would be to invite the planet's controllers to create an earthquake or a volcano erupting on that day. So it's not wise, in my estimation, to be talking about the date of disclosure. But following disclosure, disclosure will be an event in which some of the leaders of the governments of the world present members of the galactic civilizations who are here, and probably also members of the spiritual hierarchy. After that, there will be two events. One, first contact, which is a landing of the galactics, the entry of the galactics into our world, plus a return of the masters. So that's the great masters of all world religions and philosophies, so people like Buddha and Jesus and Muhammad, perhaps Krishna, Ramakrishna, various well-respected, well-known figures will come to be part of preparing us for ascension. Following that, there'll be a restoration of the Earth, which is commonly called terraforming. So all the radiation, which is left, because a lot of it has been removed by the galactics, all the radiation that's left will be removed. All the pollution that's happened will be removed. The remaining pollution in the Gulf of Mexico will be done away with. And the Earth in general will be restored in quite rapid fashion. And then the work of preparing us for ascension itself will occur. And the galactics probably will be our mentors in this, along with the masters. All of this will happen in very rapid fashion. We won't believe how quickly it will all be accomplished. So those are some of the main events in the plan. And this is a divine plan. It cannot fail because it's God's decree. There are factors such as the law of free will, which say that the galactics can only interfere so much with the free will of people like the planetary controllers. So unfortunately, the galactics have had to allow them some freedom of will in these last days to do some pretty nasty things. One evidence of the energy rising on this planet is what's happening in the Arab world. They're the first corner of the world to demand their freedom back from the dictators. That's taking a little bit of time, but apparently it's bound to succeed. And I think we'll find after that that places like Myanmar and other areas of the world where freedom is not present, I think they'll regain their freedom as well. So that's a kind of a thumbnail sketch of what's coming up. Jeff, do you want to add to that? Because you certainly...
Well, I was just thinking of playing the devil's advocate for a moment.
Sure.
There may be some people out there who are listening saying that there are so many things happening right now. Most people are having trouble just getting by in their day-to-day lives. focusing on the 24/7, 367 news, weather, sports, entertainment, movies, and the like, paying taxes and getting by. And they're so stressed out with just maintaining the day-to-day living that they don't necessarily have the time, energy, or money to devote to exploring this kind of information. And to hear words of a new economic system, people are saying, how could this possibly happen in such a short period of time? And if we're talking about a 2012 scenario where something is coming to an end, this new system potentially replaces it. Is there a longer time frame moving beyond 2012? What are you seeing there?
Well, 2012 is, it's as if we opened a door and then walked out into a space. It isn't the end of life or the end of experience. It will be the end of certain systems we've had, which favor some people and disfavor others. But it's just the beginning of a new age. The abundance program that will be coming in is only a temporary program. It's only designed to see us through to December 21st, 2012, or whenever the shift occurs. After that, we won't use money. We won't. You've got to realize that we're going to be greatly expanded people after that. The kinds of feelings that we have, the kinds of fears that we have, thoughts that we have, will probably not be present. We won't even consider not cooperating after that date. It'll just be a natural response from us. And so there will be no need for money in what some people call the golden age that will be happening after December 21st, 2012. I know people are stressed. We are watching the fall of a financial system that has been in place for millennia and has always favored the rich and not the poor. And in fact, we're watching the fall of an entire political and economic philosophy, which, if it had been allowed to continue in the direction it was going, would have seen a lot more detriment to the people at the bottom. I think people can see that the middle class was shrinking, automation had taken away jobs, no provision was being made for people. When people attempted to bring in systems like universal Medicare, which we have in Canada, as you know, Jeff, and it's wonderful. You know, why anybody would oppose it, I don't know. And yet, in the United States, whole sections of the population are being led to oppose a system as beneficent as that. So, again, you know, the population of the United States would be left without Medicare. Many people would not be able to afford it. That's the direction in which it was going, this the increasing detriment of the lower rungs of the economic ladder. All this is going to be reversed. So we're watching the ending of one system, the crash of one system, to be followed simultaneously by the rise of a different system, the system that's crashing benefits very few people. The system that's rising will benefit everyone. Did you want to say something, Jeff?
No, please, if you have some thoughts to continue. I'll just take this moment to say that you're listening to ET First Contact Radio, and we're talking with Steve Becko. In a few moments, we'll be opening the lines to take your calls. If you're calling from Canada or the U.S., the number is 1-888-815-9756. If you're calling from Europe and abroad, 001-888-815-9756, or whatever your international exchange is to connect to this number. So, Steve, please continue.
Well, I think the main message I would like to give to people or leave people with is that they're, for decent people, for people who love other people and want the world to work out and are compassionate and kind. There is absolutely nothing to fear from events. Yes, there will be some earth changes. Some of these changes are being caused by the military-industrial complex and others. But even if they weren't, there will be some earthquakes, some volcanoes going off. And only those people who have agreed to participate in them for some karmic reason will probably be affected. I'd like to say will be affected, period. That's my own personal belief, but I'll say probably be affected. So there will be some events happening which are disturbing. They are meant to release the negativity of the planet so that the planet itself can ascend. Apart from the Earth changes and the fall of the inequitable financial structure, the events that we'll be experiencing in the next year and a half are going to be wonderful. And people don't have to worry about doing something to enjoy them and participate in them. But if they did want some advice on what they could do that would well position them for these times, then I would say love. Love, love, love. That's what people can do if they're looking for something to do. And if they're looking for something to avoid, it would be fear. Avoid fear. Avoid being fearful. Avoid being rattled by news which the planet's controllers are putting out, which is designed to make people afraid. They're exaggerating the radioactive fallout from Fukushima, and they're exaggerating the financial situation. Here in Vancouver, I keep walking down the street and reminding myself that we're in a recession or a depression. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't appear that way to me. But I know that there are a lot of people hurting. But this is going to work out, and people are going to be thrilled with the outcome. And that would be my message in short, Jeff.
So those who are listening, who in this moment maybe are experiencing those moments of fear, they might be getting calls from debt collectors, or maybe they're about to have their home foreclosed on, or maybe their child suffers from ADD and was prescribed Ritalin by the school and the doctor or whatever. You know, people are going through a number of these challenges, and yet we are here saying, stay in love, and you know, just be love. And because I was this way many years ago, you know, listening to people say certain things where I began my journey 10, 15, 20 years ago, people are just coming into now, and I would say you're crazy. How can you make that shift? Where does that shift begin so quickly? And yeah, you and I know the answer to this, but I'm going to let you explain that to the listeners.
You sure you don't want to make a comment? I'd be very interested.
Well, we all know that all change has to start from within. And in order for that change to begin, understanding our relationship to what my work calls life capitalized, finding an understanding when we can begin to connect to the feeling or the deeper knowing that everything is one, that what I choose to do to someone else in this moment of now, I am also doing to myself. So in that realm of thinking, is it in my interest to make a choice to harm someone else when I know that ultimately I myself am being harmed? As we expand our awareness and consciousness to this, we begin to approach our choices in a different way. And even though there may be what some call pain or suffering involved with choices, we know that with certain choices come great responsibility, but also a certain knowing that the experience is contributing to our growth. We can only know who we are through the experiences of who we are not. So in your aspect of saying be love, you know, we learn more what love is by going through the experiences of what love is not. We learn more about compassion by going through the experiences of what compassion is not. So I would offer to the listeners that, you know, in your moments of trials and tribulations and pain or suffering, if those are the words you choose to use them as your opportunities for growth. If everything came to you exactly the way you wanted it to be, there would be nothing to learn, nothing to experience, therefore no real way of moving forward. It's in these moments, in these times that we are currently experiencing, that each individual has that choice to move up into connecting to higher energies that are now manifesting. And it really doesn't matter if you choose to believe this or not. Somewhere within you there is a feeling that I'm certain most listeners are willing to say something feels different at this time. Would you not agree, Steve?
Absolutely. I just, in regards to what you said, I'd like to invite the listeners to kind of see an image of Jacob's ladder of consciousness, which the Muslims call the stairway to heaven. We're all of us evolving back towards God, and this is just a few scenes in that overall program. The problem with trying to answer your original question on a radio show like this, Jeff, is that there are, and we're not very much aware of this as a civilization, but there are natural universal laws which govern our world. And we don't really know about them, and we don't really line up with them very well. But for me to answer your question, I'd have to discuss the law of free will. You discussed the law of karma, the law of attraction. There are so many divine laws which are impacting our situation. And so one would have to discuss those. And there isn't time in a program like this. So that's why I say if listeners were looking for one thing that they could do to practice, then I would say becoming more loving. In other words, bonding with more and more people, since where we're going is to a unitive, not a separative, level of existence. That's the best practice. And what I didn't say is that invokes the natural laws in ways that will overcome some of the factors that people are meeting in their lives. But again, to say why that would be, I'd have to go into the natural laws to discuss that. And I think that'll probably have to wait until, I guess, the very time when people will be out of those circumstances. I acknowledge that it's an important discussion to have, and I just think we don't have time for it right now.
No, that's perhaps what I hope will be discussions that I can carry out on my show when I start. So I hope to help individuals connect with what's happening at this time in a much broader sense than only first contact, but go with feelings. I had to smile when you talked about the stairway to heaven analogy. That took me back to my high school years thinking of the Led Zeppelin song Stairway to Heaven. So
right.
That's part of the elitist agenda, you know. Buying the stairway to heaven.
Well, Jeff, I go back even farther than that. I can remember the I think it was Frankie Avalon who sang Stairway to Heaven. So
uh-huh.
Yes, indeed. It's an enduring image because it's a picture of spiritual evolution, which is the process of life.
Absolutely. No, certainly through the decades, there have been little insights of wisdom and profound insights that have come through in the forms of music, that have come through in the forms of cinema and literature. At the time when I did my master's degree, there was not a lot of literature. I mean, the idea and the concepts that we are discussing now were expanding, But in 2006, when I did my master's degree, 2005, there was enough information to justify the thesis that I wrote for my degree. But now there's just a plethora of information available. This alone is a significant step or even an evolution in consciousness at this point in time. I mean, back then there were movies like E.T., there was Close Encounters of the Third Kind, there are television shows like Star Trek and Stargate. All of them are alleged to have basis in factual information, but it could not be presented that way because it was perceived the consciousness was not ready for it. Now the consciousness appears to be ready for it. Agree or disagree?
Oh, absolutely. I wonder if your listeners are... I watch TV, and from time to time I see some evidence of some kind of conscious convergence happening, but I can't really put it into words. I keep saying to myself, why are these people looking so hopeful, you know, and optimistic? And the events that we're talking about right now are the reason why those people can look so hopeful and confident and optimistic. And they're the events, it's kind of like the subtext. It's not being talked about very commonly yet. But this is the reason why people can say, we are going to take back the planet and we're going to do this and do that. This is the reason. The 2012 scenario is the reason why it's the basis for hope right now.
Very intriguing. Okay, we're coming up to about 15 minutes before the hour. You're listening to ET First Contact Radio. Yeah, listeners are invited to call in and offer whatever questions or perhaps even feelings you may have about what is happening, how you feel about disclosure. If you're looking for some insights from Steve Becko, we're certainly willing to take your calls. So from Canada and the U.S., 1-888-815-9756. And from Europe and abroad, through your international exchange, 001-888-815-9756. So it really is an intriguing time. People feeling overwhelmed with everything, trying to figure out where to go, trying to figure out where they are in this moment of now. And as we begin to see things collapsing yet manifesting, somewhere within that we find ourselves and our relationship to life. And as we witness all that is happening around us, we are being challenged to remember the larger picture that we are a part of, and we're being called to remember that there is something greater of which we are all a part and connected to. And as we work on ourselves in connecting to all that we are experiencing, and we are able to find a sense of deeper love, compassion for the oneness of life, we begin to realize that all the leaders, all the institutions that have contributed to what we are now experiencing, in some way we have all chosen to participate in it and create it. So unlike some sources that choose to expose truth but focus on the negative aspect, we are communicating the message, and I think you will agree with me, Steve, that we want to step away from ideas of revenge, of vengeance. We want to stay focused on the larger picture of, as these systems collapse, we want people to be out of positions, but we don't necessarily want to see them punished or harmed in any way. Steve?
Well, there's no need to do that, too. But again, there's so little time to develop these thoughts, Jeff. But the consequences of their behavior can be left to divine justice. People are not very much familiar with the way divine justice works, unfortunately. But I can say to them, if I've only got one or two sentences in which to say it, that divine justice will see to their needs. It will bring their behavior to their attention, and all of it will be handled compassionately and yet completely. So we don't need to become vengeful towards the dark side of the military-industrial complex and the secret state and all that. That's all going to be handled. But just as the social institutions that promote separation and divisiveness and competition and the rest of it, just as they are falling, so is divisiveness and separation and vindictiveness and all the rest of those traits falling in us. And this is a time of karmic completion. A lot of situations are being brought to us to assist us to complete our karma at this time. So if we could allow that process just to happen within ourselves as well, knowing that soon it'll be over and what will follow will more than compensate us for what's happening now, it might make it a little easier.
Certainly a lot of, the majority of listeners, I'm sure, have a concept of what this idea of karma is about. For any new listeners that may be paying attention, I have an analogy that could potentially or might assist. When I talk about human consciousness, I call it the popcorn theory. I don't know if you're a fan of popcorn, Steve, or not.
Yes.
But certainly when we make popcorn, we start with a pot, we put a little bit of oil into the pot, we put it on the stove, and we heat this oil. At that moment in time, everything is equal. All situations are equal. And it looks like from the Autobahn, Martin has joined us back.
I just found an internet spot. Hello, Jeffrey. Hello, Steve. Hello.
Hi, Martin.
We got disconnected.
Yes, but we carried on. Don't worry.
Oh, okay.
But back then, we found a McDonald's somewhere. This was really an adventure.
Yes. So you got a Wi-Fi, did you?
I got a Wi-Fi now. The other one was disconnected.
That's amazing, eh? Here you are in Germany, and we're all over the rest of the world, and we're all just having a conversation. That's incredible, Martin.
Right.
Have you seen any UFOs?
Right now I see just a blue sky with the sun setting, and somehow we got disconnected at the other place. Right now we found another place. So tell me briefly, I guess you continue the interview, Jeffrey, and I thank you for that.
Well, it certainly was unexpected, but I'm glad I was here to help you carry things through. So we've just been summarizing a lot of our feelings here, and I was just in the process of going into the popcorn theory of understanding some of the changes that are taking place. And I was talking about putting oil in a pot, the pot on the stove. You're heating up the oil, and at that moment, everything is equal. And
yes.
Okay, I'm being told that we do have a caller on the line, so I'll take that caller in just a moment, but I'll finish this quickly.
Okay, go.
When you put all the popcorn seeds into the oil, every seed has the potential to pop into a new form, into its lighter body, so to speak. So at that moment in time, all of the kernels are heating up, and they're experiencing all the same conditions. All of a sudden, one pops, then another, and then at some point, the conditions are such that the popping becomes extreme. So it's going like crazy. It's popping, 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 popping. And at some point, the popping begins to slow down. So at some point, a transformation or a change has taken place. So you take the popcorn off the stove and you pour it into the bowl. And when you look in the bottom of the pot, invariably, you are going to find certain kernels that, even though the conditions may have been there, some kernels may just have not chosen to pop for whatever reason. Right. So in human experience... Yeah.
That's a very interesting metaphor you're using. And what stage of the process of the popping you think we are right in right now?
Wow. I would think we're still in the... Well, if I broke down the process into four, a quarter, I'd probably say the popping is just starting to begin now. We've had little bits through the last 40, 50 years, but now we're getting to the point where that popping is becoming much more rapid. But with some of the time we have left, I'm told that we have Mimi on line number two, calling from South Florida, I believe. Mimi.
Hello, Mimi. Welcome to the show. Hello, Mimi. Can you hear us?
Thank you. Yes, I do. Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you. Yes, we hear you.
Wonderful, Martin. And I'm glad that you're back. We lost you for a while, but these gentlemen carried on exceptionally well in your absence. I'm glad their Wi-Fi is working again.
Yeah, we've also had one.
So it's amazing how I'm here in South Florida and you're there in Germany on the Autobahn. Steve's in Vancouver and somebody's Jeff's in L.A., I hear. Amazing.
And Jeff's in Costa Rica.
Yeah.
Okay, but what I want...
Make it a bit exciting for the listeners.
Yes, and it's just a pleasure to be talking. Steve, hello. You and I have conversed via email a couple of times before. And for everybody out there, Steve's website is a great vehicle for any unpopped kernels of corn to fully pop. I've discovered his website maybe 4 months ago. And through reading his website every day, boy, did it make my kernel pop. I'm fully enlightened now, I feel. And I've shared it with my mom and dad, who are very conventional, like Protestant, they're very religious and born-again Christians. But I've showed them Steve's website, and it's opened their eyes, too. And I just want to share with everybody out there that Steve's website is a must-visit. It's www.stevebeckow.com. And for everybody out there, it's a godsend.
I completely concur with you, and I've been uplifted as well by reading Steve's website, and the things, Steve, that you are posting are just wonderful. And I also, as I mentioned before, personally to you, when we had conversations, the way that you analyze and reflect on the messages from Salusa is just wonderful. It's just great.
Thank you very much.
Magnificent. Salusa and everybody else who that Steve is publishing on his website. It's just magnificent information, and it's very comforting, just very wonderful information and very enlightening.
Thanks, Mimi.
Yes, it is. Yes,
wonderful.
And I just wanted to make one other addition. I've grown so much since discovering your website, Steve, but I'm having a problem in not being angry with the Illuminati and the Dark Cabal and all the horrible, horrendous things that they had planned for us, to kill like over 3/4 of the planet's population and to put us in FEMA camps and to use HAARP and cause devastation and mass catastrophe.
Yes.
And I understand that our galactic brethren are ameliorating and halting their actions, but how can I best come to grips with the disgust and disdain that I have for these evil people who are trying to destroy us? How can I address that in my own soul
That's an excellent question, Mimi. And since you know the site, if you go down in the right-hand column to the section called Preparing for Ascension, you'll see lots and lots of articles on that. But very briefly, The situation is that that's our unfinished business. The depth of our reaction to the dark reflects our old issues and unfinished business, and that's what we've got to process. And the articles in that section called Preparing for Ascension are about that, as well as you'll see many, many channeled messages for the last year and probably more have all been saying the same thing, complete your unfinished business. I outline a method there called the upset clearing process, which allows a person to deal with these feelings. I don't know if you've noticed, but every time I've had a spat with a light worker or somebody else, somebody intruding on the site or something, I've also issued an article which gives the talks about the way I cleared that upset. Right?
Okay. Like,
so
there is such a plethora of information on your website that it takes like a long, 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 long time to read all the archived information, especially if you're somebody who works and has other day-to-day things. But I will, okay, where was that section again on your website, Steve?
It's called Preparing for Ascension. I'll put up an article that gives the articles on that. But the point is, there is a process by which we can get at our unfinished business, our old feelings, our old baggage. And once that is cleared, once we've completed those archaic incidents in our life, then these feelings of wanting to lynch the dark side don't arise.
Those are ugly feelings. I hate having them, and it's ruining my own enlightenment process, and I just want to find a way to deal with it and get beyond it and send them love and light, even if they wanted to kill us, you know?
Yeah,
I'll publish an
article on that perhaps today, perhaps tomorrow, okay? So I'll answer that by an article.
We're all looking forward to
that. Thank you, Mimi. Yes, thank you very much. I hope we'll be in contact.
Thank you so much, Steve. And God bless you, and God bless you all, and just keep up the good work. And much love
thank
and light
you.
To you. And God,
blessings to you, Mimi. Thank you so kindly.
Okay, thank you, and bye-bye.
God bless you. Well, and then, dear listeners, now I want to end with a little text that my friend C. Brenio wrote when we were driving. He wrote it on my laptop. And it's a short text that I would just like to end with. And first of all, I would like to thank Steve and to thank Jeffrey for helping me on the show while I was offline. And it was a great honor, and I will download the file later from BBS Radio and listen it. But I'm going to finish with a small text before we end. All right?
Great.
Okay.
For most people, the talk about hidden things is a forbidden subject. It's been seen as sinister and dark and something very powerful. The 2012 scenario is at full speed, at full throttle, and a lot of changes are happening. One little example, in the Caribbean Sea, two wire pools are being spotted with a diameter of 500 kilometers. Another example, one of the stripes of Jupiter disappeared in 2010 and came back in the spring of 2011. Those are all things that are newsworthy, but they are not reported by the mainstream media. Why is that? And now that we talk about the planet, there are other planets like Maldek or Pax that long ago exploded and it's now restoring to its pristine state. The remnants are known as the asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter. And then the 12th planet called Nibiru, which has a time to go around our sun and Sirius, which takes 3,600 years, will probably come back in 2012 in our solar system. And there are all kinds of extreme weather situations and an increase in powerful earthquakes which are happening at this time. This has to do with the fact that our solar system is almost at the galactic equator. The pinpoint of this happening will take place around 2012, and humankind is going to ascend to the fifth dimension and beyond. This is called the ascension process. And this was written by C. Brenio Rumer, my friend, and I would just thought it was honorable to read it for the listeners. And before we finish, I would just like to ask Steve to comment on it.
In 2012, we approached the galactic equator, and this burst of energy added to the energy coming from the photon belt, from various beings and various civilizations is what is causing this ascension process to occur. I thought that was very well put, Martin, and thanks to your friend for doing that.
Thanks to my friend, C. Brenio. Thank you, C. Brenio. So we share this with the world, Sibrenio. Thank you. Well, dear listeners, the hour has passed. It has passed very quickly. And I thank you, Steve, for this wonderful website that you have and the work you do. It's just wonderful. You are uplifting so many people. And thank you, Jeffrey, for helping me when I was disconnected. And maybe in some months when beautiful things have happened, maybe after disclosure we can do a disclosure show with all the wonderful light workers that are now connected to BBS Radio.
Thanks for your radio show, Martin. Wonderful
thank
experience.
Thank you for being Steve, and namaste.
Namaste. Bye for now.
Bye for now.